The point is that are we willing to face these challenges? Are we willing to accept these challenges? Are we willing to put ourselves in the driver's seat and say that I am responsible for whatever symptom that I am going through? I am responsible for how this relationship is happening. I am responsible for how life is turning out to me. But we always want to blame the other person, or we always want to blame the situation. We want to blame the government. We want to blame the weather. We want to blame the food. We want to blame the cook. We want to blame everyone else, but we are falling short of taking responsibility for what we are going through. Healing is accepting. Healing literally means to accept what you are going through as you being the choice maker for all the consequences that you are going through. When you do that, you will see that your symptoms will start getting better. I have seen people with cancers, and when they start the practice of accepting and working on their emotions, and then when they go through a PET scan, they've seen that the cancers start slowly reducing. The tiredness begins to reduce. The depression begins to wane. They are able to wake up in the morning and they're able to look at the sun, they're able to take a walk. They see that their fatigue, everything starts reducing. But we want medicines. That's because the longer you tolerate your symptom, the more medication you will take. The sooner you accept, the better it is for you. Medicine does not cure. Medicine is only a helper. It only assists in healing, but by itself it does not heal. Healing is a happening. And healing happens when you accept. When you stop fighting, when you start looking within and start identifying what is it that I did that has caused me to go through this. It could be you. It could be your family, it could be your relatives, your friends. What have I done that this has led to this kind of a symptom? That's what healing is all about. So today we will do two things. One is, of course, we will do the basic meditation to ground ourselves. And after that, I will take you through some processes where you can feel the healing happen instantly. Alright, so let us start now. So for all the newcomers, these are the few instructions that I'm going to give. For all the others, you know, if you're sitting on a chair, make sure that your hip is higher than your knee level, which means that don't sit on a sofa. Sit on a chair with a hard surface. And if you're sitting on a chair, do not cross your legs. Place your legs one beside the other. If you're sitting on a stool, a small stool, maybe 3 or 4 inches tall, then it's absolutely fine for you to cross your legs. If you're sitting on the ground, please do not use a backrest. Whether it's a chair or whether it is a wall, please do not use a backrest. It's better to raise your sit bones by a few inches, raise your hips by a few inches so that your back straightens up. That's the easier way to straighten up. These meditations, you can keep your eyes open or eyes closed, whichever appeals to you. Think, imagine, visualize, or feel that you are sitting in the golden circle of light. You're sitting in a golden circle of light. The size of this circle is as wide as your outstretched arms with fingers extended. The circle is on the ground. You are in its center. Let your eyes be on a downward gaze, and you can choose whether you want to keep your eyes open or closed. In In front of you, think, imagine, visualize or feel a tall pole with many different colored ribbons hanging from a sphere at the top, which represents your higher consciousness. In your inner scene, see yourself get up and walk towards this pole and hold on to a ribbon of whatever color that appeals to you. And walk back to your seat connected by this ribbon as if it were a telephone connection between you and your higher consciousness. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its relaxing energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any anger, any blame or disappointment, any restlessness, any clutter that you may be carrying in any part of you, whether it is physical, mental, emotional or any other, for 2 or 3 breaths. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its healing energies. We all need healing, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other. Breathe in this healing energy. As you breathe out, let go of any pain or distress that you may be carrying in any part of you for 2 or 3 breaths. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its cleansing and purifying energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of all resistance, let go of all negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative memories, negative emotions, negative judgments, and anything else that you wish to release. Now, ask the higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its strengthening energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any fatigue, any tiredness, or even a sense of weakness. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its unconditional love, which is completely accepting and non-judgmental. Breathe in this energy. As you breathe out, let go of everything that is preventing you from receiving this precious gift. Let go of any guilt, a sense of low self-worth, low self-esteem, or anything else that is preventing you. To make this practice more powerful, imagine a flower in the center of your chest and observe whether this flower has blossomed, whether it is a bud, or whether it has wilted. Either ways, order this flower to come into full bloom. Ask your higher consciousness to send its unconditional love into this flower. Breathe it in, breathe the unconditional love through this flower. Let it fill your heart, let it fill your entire body, entire being. And as you breathe out, share this love with all of creation. Come back to conscious awareness and slowly open your eyes when you're ready. We all befriend pain very easily and we doubt happiness. This is a pattern that's present in the society, in communities, in families, and every individual. We befriend pain. We learn very quickly to tolerate pain. And when pain becomes so familiar to us, we tend to use it as a crutch. This is the reason why when we take you through the Maypole meditation, which we just did, we ask you to breathe only 2 or 3 times. That's because it's only a minuscule part of pain that we must release because we hold it so closely to us because it's so familiar to us. If you release more, then because you are unfamiliar to freedom, you are unfamiliar to joy and happiness, you will simply attract more pain to fill the space. This is the reason we give this instruction of breathing in just 2 or 3 times. You have to slowly condition yourself to happiness, to joy, which is natural to you. You are born with it. Pain is what you cultivated. Pain is what you learned. Pain is what you befriended. It was unknown to you when you were born. But today, the pain has become more familiar than happiness. This is one of the reasons why we take so much time to heal. This is the reason why we take so much effort to heal, that we doubt whether we will be healed. We believe more in medication and believe less in the practices, in the truth that healing is absolutely possible. So today we'll be doing one simple healing practice. And what we are going to attempt now is to just let go of stiffness from any one particular part of the body. This is what we are going to attempt. And once you've done, then you can share your feedback about how your experience was. All right? So now let us... So you can sit comfortably but maintain a straight back. I want you to reach out to the maypole again. So imagine this tall pole with many different colored ribbons hanging from its sphere at the top. You're sitting in your golden circle. Hold on to this ribbon. Ask your higher consciousness to raise your inner sense of hearing. So you repeat, I ask my higher consciousness to raise my inner sense of hearing, my inner sense of feeling, my inner sense of knowing, and my inner sense of being. And my inner sense of vision. Now we'll focus on the spinal column. We all carry a lot of stress in our back, right from the neck to the lower back. At any one point in time during the day, we can experience stress in any one part of the spinal column. So let's focus on the spinal column. Ask your higher consciousness to send its healing energies to your spine. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of all resistance, all beliefs, all perceptions, all doubts. You just have to tell yourself, as you breathe out, I release all my resistances, I release all my doubts, I release all my judgments, and I release all my assumptions. I allow healing to happen. Let this healing energy flow through your back and let it go to wherever it has to. This energy is intelligent. It knows how to travel to you and through you and to where it has to go. So you don't have to direct it to any one part of the body. You just have to ask it to come into your spinal column and heal. To allow healing to happen, you have to relax your spine, relax your shoulders, relax your hips. But don't slouch. Maintain a straight back. Just relax all the tension from your shoulders. Relax your head. Relax your neck. Relax your hips. And ask the higher consciousness to send its healing energies through your spine. You can be alert and aware to observe anything that you might feel. Just allow the healing to happen. Just one more minute. Keep your eyeballs downward, gaze, eyelids open or closed, so you can avoid mental distractions. come back to conscious awareness. Thank the higher consciousness for sending its healing energies. I want to ask you, did anyone experience relaxing the spine, releasing pain? Did anyone experience any feelings? Any reduction in pain? You can just show by yes. Yes, Induji.
Hello,
namaste.
My name is warm, very warm. It's, I think, kind of burning. And the position where I have pain, I felt as if it's melting away.
So, did you experience a reduction in pain after that?
Very much. I don't feel the pain. And just before the session, it was bothering me.
Excellent. You see, healing is instantaneous. It's always instantaneous. We hold on to resistance. Resistance turns to pain, and pain turns to symptoms, and symptoms turn chronic, and then they become life-threatening. We don't have to tolerate pain. On a day-to-day basis, just go on releasing pain. Someone else had raised their arm. Someone had raised their hand. Is there anyone else who experienced anything different? All right. Does anyone have any questions? Okay. All right. So let's... Yes, Shilpa?
Talk after some time, I felt like my lower back was less tensed. Like I felt like as if something was moving out from there. I don't know if I'm expressing it wrong. It felt lighter. But I had a different experience. Apart from the physical feeling, I had a release. I don't know what it was, but then I was overwhelmed. Not overwhelmed, wrong word. There was a release of emotion, and then there was complete calm after that. Like, stillness. I couldn't feel anything.
Okay. Alright, so... Fine, so let's... So, this is one of the ways of healing. The second is let us work on emotions. It's very simple. Yes, yes, Jyoti Saraf. Please unmute. Please unmute. Yes, please. We are not able to hear you. Yes.
Back since morning, and the pain started moving downward, and you know, it suddenly just I felt as if kind of sudden release, like you know, it stayed there for some time, but after I finished 1 minute of when I was doing it, it suddenly got released. I'm feeling very light.
Do you still have the pain?
No, not at all, sir, not at all.
Excellent. See how easy it is. It doesn't require an expert to release that pain, to give you that relief. You can do it by yourself. We all are just parts of the divine self. We all are healed already. It is just that we hold on to problems and let it harm us. And we start taking comfort in that pain. We start taking comfort in the problem, in the illness. We are so conditioned to be unwell that being well seems very new, though being well is the only thing that we must feel at all times. When we identify with illness, even if you did not have it, if you constantly keep telling yourself that I'm not feeling all that well, you will manifest illnesses. You must never want to be in a low space. You must never procrastinate. You must never push things away to be accomplished later, because very quickly we get conditioned to being different from who we really are. You must never, never, ever put yourself in a condition, in a position where you are lesser than who you are. And we always do that. We always do that. On Monday, we wait for Saturday. On Sunday, we crib about Mondays and we have Monday blues. Thank God it's Friday. We have all this utter nonsense which slowly destroys us. It's very simple. Life is very simple. If you don't like what you're doing, stop it. Don't keep doing what you are doing only because it gives you money. You don't need money to live. You need money for a lifestyle. If you want to build a house, you need money. But you don't need money to eat. You don't need money to clothe. You don't need money to sleep. You can get all of those facilities without having to spend a single rupee. But if you want a lifestyle, for example, if you want to live in a particular city, in a particular locality, in a particular house, facing a particular direction, located in a particular floor, having enough sunlight and vastu compliant, and you have blah, 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 you need money. There's nothing wrong with that. But the point is, you don't have to crave for more than what is coming to you. I'll just give you an example of how things work. Many years ago, I wanted a house on rent. And there was this lady who came to me and she had a urinary tract infection. And for 12 years, she was suffering with it. And when I worked with her and then her symptom got better, the first question she asked me was this. A friend of mine told me that you're looking for a house to rent. I have a house that I want to give it on rent. And you are a good man. So I won't charge you advance. I just want the rent to be paid on the first of every month. So this is how things manifest. So we all have our natural abilities which are given to us, which we carry with us, but we fall short of discovering it. That's because we are too lazy. We want everything to be given to us for free without putting any effort. And when we bring forth these natural abilities and start applying them in our lives, then miracles begin to happen. That's because we don't have to put our effort trying to do things. We don't need the thank God it's Friday, we don't need Monday blues. None of those exist in our lives because our natural abilities make us more and more happy and more beautiful. So you have to always use your natural abilities. Last time I had asked you, I had taken you through this process of finding the purpose of your life. Only one person kept in touch with me and actually was able to find his purpose. There was no one else who got in touch with me. See how lazy we are. So every Saturday when I take you through these sessions, it's not about Saturday. It's about something new that you take on and you take on seriously, put it to practice and get it to a point of realization so that you climb up several notches in your life, in your spiritual life. And you will see how it transforms your physical life, your material life, your financial life. Everything will transform when you climb up the ladder of spirituality. But we want everything else to improve, and then if your mood permits, you will come into spirituality. But it's the other way around. You have to prepare to receive. The universe is constantly showering us with blessings, showering us with grace, showering us with abundance. Of everything, of all sorts. But we want it to reach us, and then we will decide according to our mood whether we will sit in meditation or not, whether we will wake up early, whether we will do everything that we need to do to continue to receive, to continue to grow. Life doesn't happen like this. You will exist for sure, and you will age like everybody else, and one day you'll pass away. But on the day that you're passing away, you will regret that I had the time, I had all the guidance that I needed from coming from wherever, but it was my laziness that held me back. You will regret. So it's better for you to start today if you haven't, so that you can stop suffering and you can start living. I have clients coming to me and giving me names of symptoms, their mental conditions, their emotional conditions, their physical conditions. They memorize the names of diseases. You know, in spirituality and in healing, it's very simple. When you remember the name of an illness, you can no longer be cured from it. That's because you are making that your reality. If you call yourself a diabetic, you can never be cured of that symptom, because you are identifying with it. I have so many people coming to me, when I tell them you don't have diabetes, you can be healed, your condition can be reversed, it is stress induced. They counter me and they say, I'm taking metformin, I'm taking glycomet, I'm taking this medicine, that medicine, I am diabetic. Now when you make your illness your reality, then you cannot be healed. That's because you are your problem. Your thinking is your problem. Your attitude is your problem. You have to change it if you want to be well. But if you think your illness is supporting you in getting freebies, if your illness is supporting you in getting sympathy, and if you love that sympathy to death, you want that sympathy. You want people to say, poor so-and-so, he's got this sickness. And if that you love that pleasure, then go ahead. Be sick. Stay sick. But one day, you'll be sick of that sickness. Because every day you have to swallow that medicine. It's not comforting. But you befriend that discomfort, and you make that your alternate reality, and you begin to believe that I'm not responsible, my body is bad. My body is going bad. I didn't do anything. I didn't deserve this. And this is what a lot of doctors tell you. When you have a psychological condition, they say you are okay, but there is some chemical imbalance in your body, in your head, in your brain, in your nerves. It's utter rubbish. You are responsible for your well-being. No one else. So please take responsibility for what you are going through. You alone are responsible for all the physical, all the emotional, all the psychological, and all the mental conditionings, and all the problems that you are going through. You are directly or indirectly responsible for it. It must have occurred at an age where you probably could not have decided. But today, you have grown, you have matured, and you have earned with your age and with your adulthood the choice making, the decision making ability. You've earned that. Now you can decide. So you cannot blame your childhood. You cannot blame your infancy. You cannot blame your parents. You're not an infant yet. You're not a child yet. Yes, Tejaswi. Please unmute. Yes, sir. Okay. Now, I have a question for you. Why do you start by saying I'm a diabetic? See, you have fluctuations in your sugar levels, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So why don't you say I have fluctuations in my sugar levels? The term diabetic is meant for the doctor's file. Please leave it there. Don't carry it in your head. The doctor needs to save paper, and he has a terminology to determine what your symptom is. He will write on his file diabetes. All right? Now I have another question. Is your fasting and postprandial sugar are both of them high?
Yes. Fasting is too much high, but other things are little control.
Yes, so which means that it's your liver which is causing the problem. The pancreas might not be the problem creator. This is a very common symptom that's occurring these days. So first of all, you have to question yourself. What is it that I am doing to myself that is causing the symptom? So simple questions. What is your dinner time?
I eat 6:30 to 7:30.
6:30 to 7:30. Okay, do you chew your food well? Okay. Are you hungry to eat?
Always hungry to eat.
No. You won't be always hungry to eat. The body does not behave like that. Do you have a craving to eat?
Yeah, actually, after having my dinner, still I would like to have something, some small eat, something.
Exactly. So this symptom of yours, if I may, in this group, taking you as an example, this is what happens when a person is not happy in the mind. You need to the mind wants satisfaction. So even after eating, the mind wants something more. So this is a typical example of a person being unhappy. So you must ask yourself this question: what am I doing to myself that is causing me to exist in this state? You might be compromising on several things. You don't have to. You have to question, what is my reality? How can I make this thing better? How can I make my life better? You have to make choices. If you have made choices already which are going to terminate after 25 years, for example, a home loan, then you are stuck with this choice for the next 25 years. I'm just giving you examples. All right? So you can always improve your condition. I'll give you an example. My father was taking medication for uncontrolled sugar from the age of 40 till the age of 72. At the age of 40, when he was taking the pills, I was still a young kid with no knowledge of how healing happens. I didn't even pay attention. It's because that was his reality, which I saw. But when I realized how healing happens, I observed him, and one day he came and one day his sugars were uncontrollable at 450, and the doctors were constantly increasing his medical dosage, and my father thought from a common sense perspective that there is a possibility that they don't know what they're doing. So he asked me, is there anything that you can do? I took 15 days. I asked him to observe his hunger first. And I asked him, when do you eat and when are you hungry? So he told me that he drinks his coffee at 4:30, at 5:30, 7:30 breakfast, then 9:30 a snack, then 11 o'clock something else, then 1 o'clock something else, because the doctors had told him to eat frequently. And I told him, eat when you're hungry, drink when you're thirsty, rest when you're tired, sleep when you're sleepy. He followed these suggestions, and his sugars dropped from 450 to 140. When he went to the diabetologist, they were shocked to find his numbers so good, but unfortunately, they didn't want to know what he did. So they just told him, please continue whatever you are doing. You are absolutely doing great. After from 72 to 77, his sugars were absolutely normal. So the point is that we constantly live in stress, and this is what stress does to our body. So stop believing. So don't tell yourself that you are a diabetic, your sugar levels are fluctuating, and you need to improve your physical health. You need to improve your emotional health. You need to improve your mental health. If you don't know what to do, you can ask us. So we practice Ayurveda. You can ask us. We can do online consultations. We can do all that and help you. Or if you know somebody who can do it, you can go there. Sure. So, sure, we will. Sure. So, don't call it treatment. So, you have to do things, you have to take on practices, you have to follow certain principles that will bring you back to better health. All right. So, this is how, thank you, sir. So, this is how our body begins to change. Our body is created from nature, and the body is born perfect. The body might not be correct in every sense, which means that some people have limbs in different with deformities. So some people are born autistic, some people are born with cerebral palsy, people are born with different conditions, but everybody is born perfect. They may not be correct in the social sense, but they're all perfect, which means that they learn to live through their physicality. We may not be able to reproduce how they have learned to live. Just the way we have learned to live through our conditioning, through our physical body, they also, every single person learns to live through their conditioning. So it's important for us to learn to live, rather than complain about our life, our lifestyle, and the challenges that we go through. We all go through several challenges, but it is important to constantly work with ourselves, constantly and consistently. We have to work with ourselves so that we can learn how to live through this. You can't run away from challenges, but we have to learn to live through the challenges. And that's when you will actually experience peace. Instead of resisting, we have to learn to live with it. We have to learn to accept. What does it mean to accept? It literally means to let things pass. It's when you hold your hand with the five fingers separated and with this wind blowing, then a very little bit of wind strikes your fingers. Most of it passes through your fingers. That's how you accept. So when you spread your fingers, you stop resisting. This is the way you become less opaque. You become more transparent. Opaqueness comes from resistance, from judgments, from assumptions. Be transparent. Let things pass through you. And that's the way you heal. It's okay for people in the family to be however they choose to be. It's okay for them to have their attitude. It's okay for the world to be different, but still be transparent. What is the objective of your existence? Be clear. The objective is very important. If you are here to share what you have brought with you, you are on the path. But you can't get anything from here. This world is a place where you have to give all that you have brought with you. You cannot get anything from here. This is not a place for getting. This is a place for giving. And in the process of giving, you will learn. you will learn how to give. And when you're willing to give, what you need to give will come through you. It'll manifest through you. Life is very simple, but it's not easy. That's because you need to learn how to do it. And the how is what you discover in the life. This is why we are given challenges. If you want to learn how to love, you will not be born in a loving family. Then there's nothing to do. You'll be lazy. You will be put in a very difficult environment, and it's only through wading through the challenges you learn how to love unconditionally. We are going through a phase at this moment, right now, in the last days, few days from September 30th to October 14th is Mahalaya Paksha. Okay, this is the time when we give offerings to our ancestors. And the way we have to give the offering to the ancestors is to stay hungry in the morning until 11 in the morning. Now, why do we do this? Until we are hungry, until we stay hungry, we won't know how a hungry person feels. And when we experience what hunger means to us, then you understand how important it is to feed others. How important it is to serve a hungry person. But if you try to do the same practice after your breakfast, then you are not identifying with hunger. You're not identifying with the need for food, because now you're disconnected. Your stomach is full. So your stomach needs to be empty, and you must be hungry to identify with hunger. So life is like this. If you want to learn how to love unconditionally, you must be born in a loveless family. If you want to know how to heal, then you must be born with a lot of problems, a lot of challenges. And it's only when you learn how to live through them that you actually come face to face with healing. You look at Louis Hay's book. If you look at the last part of the book, you will read her story of how she was sick and how she healed herself. Every person who is talking about healing has gone through tremendous hardships, a lot of trials and tribulations, and they waded through them, and only then they've been able to talk about healing. Otherwise, it'll be just a facade. They're just making it up. So you must have personal experience of hardship, of trials and tribulations. Only then you will understand what it means to be in trouble and how to heal. So the first thing that you need to be healed is self-confidence. Because being well and being okay are two different things. At this moment, right now, whatever symptom you have, right now, right here, at this moment, you are okay. You're absolutely okay. Because you are the one who is telling yourself that I'm okay at this moment. But are you well? No, you're not. For you to be well, you have to accept that I am responsible for this symptom. And immediately you will see that your symptom will start dropping. Whether it is sugar, whether it is blood pressure, whether it is glaucoma, whatever the symptom. But you can't expect redemption, or rather reversal of all these symptoms. Because some of the consequences have existed for far too long, and you have abused your ability to think and process thoughts and emotions and feelings far too much, to an extent that the symptoms cannot be reversed. At that time, acceptance helps. When you accept, you stop suffering. It's important for you to accept that you are responsible for whatever you're going through. How? You don't know. You don't remember that experience. You don't remember the thought. You don't remember that day when you judged yourself, reprimanded yourself, or blamed someone, or fought, or did whatever you did. You don't remember that. But whether you realize it or not, know it or not, remember or not, you are directly or indirectly responsible for where you are physically, mentally, intellectually, and emotionally. There's no other way. There is no other way. So let us do a small practice. We're already 10 minutes ahead of our time. Let us do a very small practice, very simple practice in acceptance. I want you to breathe in deeply, and as you breathe out, I want you to tell yourself, I let go of all my resistance. As you breathe out, breathe easy, breathe with a sigh, and tell yourself, I let go of all my resistance. I just want to know from you, how many of you felt goose pimples? Anyone here who felt goose pimples? Anyone here who felt a sudden release? Very good. Very good. So you just have to release all the time. Just have to release all the time. Don't accumulate stress. It translates into physical problems. Healing is allowing. Healing is simply allowing. Don't resist. Don't hold on to grudges. Don't hold on to anything that will destroy or distort your peace and your happiness. Always forgive. No need to forgive the person. Never forgive the person. Always work with your memory. We have the forgiveness practice on the website. You can access that, and several meditations are there on the website. You can access that. If you have any doubts, you can always reach out to us. We are here to help you. Yes, Banu.
Namaste, Guruji.
Namaste.
Guruji, when you go into that talk and all, I was having one doubt, okay, which is continuously running through my mind. The thing is that I'm going through one medical procedure, which happens every week on Friday. And when that procedure happens for that 5 or 10 seconds, there is like immense pain in that part when that procedure happens.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was thinking about this one, why is it like happening to me? I just had a thought, okay, is going through a physical pain like a release of karma? I don't know why that thought came to my mind. So I just thought, since we're talking about this, might be the right forum to ask.
The body does not feel pain. The mind is what feels pain. All right? Now, if you want to reduce the intensity of pain, so I have a question. When you know, so now since it's a weekly procedure, you know that the first 10 seconds are going to be painful, right? So
yes.
So are you consciously, unconsciously resisting or stiffening the part of the body where you experience the pain?
Until that pain starts, I'm like, I try to stay relaxed. I divert my mind by speaking to the doctor. But the moment the pain starts, the 10 seconds, it's like excruciating.
Okay.
So probably I might be resisting, or I might be making that stiffer that part of the body. Yeah.
No, it will happen. Excuse me. It will happen. We have this unconscious memory which constantly triggers the muscle reactions. So there might be stiffness. What I'm asking you to do is to excuse me, is to observe. You can observe your that part of the body. You can observe the pain. Instead of diverting your mind, you might be diverting your mind consciously, but unconsciously you will be aware that this episode is going to happen. So observe that part of the body, observe the pain instead of talking to the doctor and diverting your attention.
Okay.
And then you see whether that improves your intensity, or rather reduces the intensity of pain.
Okay.
Yeah, just so, try it.
Can you explain more, Dr. Bhatt, what does it mean by saying observe that pain?
Which part of the body, if you can tell me?
It's a fistula procedure, so it's near to the anus.
Okay, right. So at that moment, close your eyes and observe, feel the part of that body. Okay, it is like, okay, let me give you a clue. Now at this moment, let us focus on the underside of the thigh, of your knee joint, underside of the knee joint. I want you to at this moment take your awareness to the underside of the knee joint. Now, do you feel any wetness there because of sweat? Do you feel dryness? What do you feel like?
I feel a little bit of a burning sensation.
You feel a slight disturbing burning sensation. Okay, so you took your awareness there, but until you took the awareness there, did you feel that kind of a sensation?
No.
All right. Now I want you to take your awareness there and observe that burning sensation. Just observe it. Don't judge it. Just observe it. Don't ask why I'm going through this. Don't ask what is happening. Just observe it. You see, resistance is what causes all symptoms. Fistula is a symptom cropping out of fear, out of anxiety, restlessness.
Okay.
You are a chartered accountant, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, now you guys can be taken to task if you do something to your clients.
Yes.
That brings in a lot of fear. There's a chartered accountant near my office who constantly comes for therapy. So whenever he has to file September 30th and March 31st, he goes through severe physiological complications. So, and it's all psychological. It's all to do with the mind. The mind translates into physical problems. And when we release the muscle memory, he is okay for 2 days. But soon after he files the returns on March 31st and September 30th, his body is so cool. He has absolutely no symptoms. Right? We all go through this. So what you need to do is to just observe. So try observing. We just tried now to observe the underside of the knee joint. Now the same process has to be applied when you're going through the fistula procedure. All right?
Okay, Guruji.
So just go through it and let me know.
Sure, Guruji.
Right. So thank you so much. And all these sessions are meant for you to apply, for you to improve, for you to grow. It's not only on Saturdays that you need to do meditations. Please wake up, do your meditations every day. And those who have not signed up the membership form, please sign up please fill the Google Sheets. We have actually tied up with one person, an organic store in north of Bangalore, and he's coming up with some beautiful offers for organic produce. We'll be putting it up on the website tonight, and it's available only for those who have signed up for the membership. The membership is absolutely free. You don't have to pay any money for it. And you get a membership card again for free. And if you are not staying very close, then you can share your address so that we can send you the membership card. We want you to improve your life, but we want you to help us do that. So help us contribute to your well-being. So if you're not signed up that Google Sheets, you can do it again. We will post that form again just in case you lost the thread of messages. We'll post it again so that if you have not entered your information, please do so, so you can get all the benefits. We are trying to expand the number of benefits that you are going to get. And this is a new initiative that we are doing so that we can breed happiness in the Agar Meditation Group. We all look forward to a happy, blissful, and lovely team. Have a beautiful weekend, all of you. And I look forward to connecting with you next Saturday. Until then, have a beautiful weekend.
Thank you, Marish. Thank you. Wonderful session. Thank you.